will not steal my thunder. All right. I know I'm the last. I'm also the tallest, so I don't know if that was by design or not. I have a loud voice, so I might not even need much of the mic. But we shall see. Anyway, thank you for the intro. The enthusiastic intro. You mustered the energy at the very end of this, and that was impressive. Thank you to you and Chris in absentia for the introduction, or for the invite rather, for having me here. And to our host, White Whale. No venue, no party. So here we are. So thank you for that. So time is short, as you all were advised. We're 10 to 12 minutes apiece. So I'm just going to state the itinerary for my presentation and then pop right in. So I want to start with one new poem and then read just three from the book that John mentioned. All right, so the new poem. Megan, you're processing COVID, which I think we all have been. I've been processing the assault on my community. The queer community is under assault right now. So I had the news on before I came here tonight after my work shift, and apparently Trump, the former guy, at his presentation speech, I don't know, spit out, whatever you want to call it, what he does, in Washington, D.C., first time he'd been back since he left in disgrace a year and a half ago, did a little ad lib in his speech. And that ad lib was to, don't you hate it when men compete with women in sports? And that was his way of trolling transgender women. Apparently got a huge cheer, like people standing up clapping, you know. ACLU recently came across a piece. Through the first half of this year, there have been more anti-LGBTQ plus pieces of legislation introduced in red state, mostly legislatures, through the first 6 months than there were all of last year. And last year was a shitty year. And last year there were twice as many as the year before. And 2020, if you remember it, was also a shitty year. So anyway, my community is under assault. And one way to respond to that, there was reference to processing, right? One way that I process that is to write about it. So I've written several pieces over the last 6, 7, 8 months or so. They've ranged emotionally from rage on one end to deep despondency on the other. This one that I'm going to read for you now lands somewhere in the middle. Let's call it anxiety. And it's a good one to read too, to sort of get out the early reading jitters. And it's called The Future Is, Dystopic Countdown. The future's a four-pronged path. The path on the left winds through unnumbered nights to a street where no one sees you. Middle paths will see you by circuitous routes to the path on the right. Do not take the path on the right. The future's a three-headed dog. Your songs might appease and reunite you with her, but she's dead to the rest now. The future's two doors. The one on the right reads right. The one on the left reads right. The future's one word, and that word's not you. The future's said, some anxiety over the last few months. One loses sleep. Okay, so now I want to just read three from my book, The Girl Who Wasn't It Is. It's not the cover and all. And they're going to be, on the whole, much more upbeat. So just, you've been forewarned to get ready to smile a little bit. The first one is one of eight love songs that I put in the book. And they're not love songs in any, you know, conventional romantic boy meets girl, girl meets boy meets boy, girl meets girl, et cetera, romantic sense. One of the love songs is about aversion therapy. I wrote a love song to death. So there are a couple in there about separation. So you get the point. Love is a complex emotion, and these poems sort of explore many facets of this very powerful emotion that probably more than any emotion makes us fully human. So this song is an upbeat one, and it's called Love Song Congruence. And it's about basically the time when I finally started to fully, richly occupy my own body after I came out some years back. So Love Song Congruence. How to say the wonder of these newfound lands, the sweet snow melt bubbling from this tongue, the grace in these arms, these hands, these fingers, hips, legs, feet, of the turn swoops, the diamond darts of the herring shoals, the deer's tiptoe dances in the dawn-dewed grass, or the way the dragonflies and bees seem to hover in the morning sun out of gravity. How to convey the marble gently rolling plains of fat. I'm a prior to the miracle of breasts. Okay, and the other two that I'll do are also autobiographical, and these are about my relationship with my family and largely my parents. So this first one is, I guess, the sort of the one thing that it speaks to me about is that even when you're really blessed to come from a supportive, loving family, coming out and being trans is just plain hard sometimes. And the poem is called Hope's the Drug You. Hopes the drug you never lectured me on. Hope that I might dig through the heaped up defenses of so many generations and find you bigger than you are. But then time with a shrug opens its door to my foxhole decades below the frost line, watching you laud the triumphs laid at the tutelary altar and chalk over the desiccated smiles, the dirt sliding from the cracks, and the silence of the snow-bitten wood after a winter gale throbs through my heart. Blames, a stupid game I won't play. My erasure was mine or everyone's. And to be known as well as loved was a big ask and probably a selfish one. But when I see it wither again and again in the sun-soaked nostalgia for a young world where I was impossible, I can't help but wonder whether it would have been best if you drowned me in the leech field when you had the chance. Okay, that's one. And this is, well, this is my mother's 80th birthday tomorrow. My mom says, you know, age is just a number. So I trust, you know, she's online. She won't mind my telling you folks in here. Feisty as ever at the age of 80. Just a quick story. I mentioned this to Joan when I arrived today. So I received the invite to participate in this reading back in late January. And, you know, of course, I knew my mother was going to be 80 in July. So I was reading the email. I was like, can I even invite her? I was like, yes. And I was read a little further. And I get to the date. And it's like, oh, you know. I was like, oh, she lives up in Maine. So that's the back. She's still up in Maine where I grew up. So obviously, I'm not going to be there for her birthday tomorrow. So this is, in part, a way of partially atoning for my absence tomorrow. And it's another of the love songs. And it's called simply Love Song, Friend, Mom. So many times, unkind assumptions leeching from my fault lines have muddied our moments together. And yet here you are now, again, with your beautiful courage after so many scarring years, telling me how beautiful I am and that you love me. And somehow, again, the salve I crave shocks, and I cower in shadows, familial embrace from the sweet lesson of surrender. That is awesome.